You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy, and you're listening to my podcast, Vox and Hops, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope that you have been having a great week. I have been having a blast of a week. I am super stoked for the weekend coming up tomorrow. I can't wait to just relax, take it easy, hang out with my family. It is always my favorite thing to do after a hard week's work, and I hope that you guys get to do the same. In case you missed it last night on Vox and Hops Thirsty Thursday virtual hang, there is a big change coming in the world of Thirsty Thursday. I love Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, but as the world is opening up, it has been harder and harder for all of us to get together. So I have decided to make Thirsty Thursdays a little bit different. Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs will for now be held on the first Thursday of each month. But it is not going to be a standard Thirsty Thursday virtual hang. It is actually going to be a live Vox and Hops episode recording featuring a previous guest of the Vox and Hops podcast. One of the Vox and Hops alumni will be there hanging out with us. And for the first 30 minutes of the Vox and Hops Thirsty Thursday virtual hang, it will be a live interview. And then it's going to turn into a Q&A. And all of that is going to become a brand new Vox and Hops episode. So I'm super stoked about that. I've actually scheduled the first guests for this new version of Thirsty Thursdays, and that will be happening on October 1st, my first live Vox and Hops Thirsty Thursday interview is with none other than the very first Vox and Hops guest ever, the great Danny Marino, the guitarist of The Agonist. I love Danny. He's the best. And when I came up with this new idea of Thirsty Thursday, he was the first person that came to my mind. So stoked for that. So no Thirsty Thursdays coming up for the next few weeks, but there will be one on October 1st. And then we're going to be taking a break until the first Thursday of November. I love Thirsty Thursdays, as I said this. I love the group. I love the community. It is amazing. And I do not want to lose that. But I feel like everyone just has a little bit more things on their plate with the world opening up. And I want to give everyone a bit more space. On today's episode of Vox and Hops, I'm with Christian Bonesen of LLNN. Get ready. If you don't know this band, you've just discovered your new favorite band. Here it is. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 180.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Christian Bonesen of LLNN. How are you? It is very, very good to be with you. I have been a fan of your band for quite some time, and I always really, really enjoy getting the chance to sit down and talk with people that I am actually a huge fan of. So how are you? How are you doing? Let's just start with a nice, easy question today.
First of all, thank you. That means a lot to me, especially from the Cryptopsy lead singer. That's a big thing. I'm doing great. It's a nice, humid, warm day here in Denmark, and I'm chilling. Everything's great.
Awesome. How did you cope with the social isolation during COVID-19, and how have you been coping with the subsequent deconfinement?
Well, I haven't been coping at all because I'm an essential worker. I work with special needs children.
Really?
So if there's a pandemic, autistic children don't give a fuck about that. So
that is very true.
So I've been working the entire time.
Wow, good for you. Hats off, and thank you for doing that. I also work in early childhood education, so we have been working the whole time as well, but I was lucky and I got to work from home for a good portion of the early stages of COVID. So, and that is true that children do not care that there's a pandemic.
So, yeah, but as you know, I've been missing playing music, but we have been playing, you know, at our rehearsal space, but not live. We had to like cancel a couple of shows, but you know, it's nice to miss it, if you know what I mean.
I do understand what you mean. Yeah, we're going to get back on stage, and it's going to be very exciting and very fresh, and the goosebumps are going to be there.
Yeah.
I believe that 100%, yes.
Me too.
Vox and Hops is all about me hanging out with my metal friends and talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. What beer do you have on your side there, Christian, that you're going to share with me today?
Well, I have Enter Night, kind of like... you know, Metallica's beer.
it's a super dope beer. I've had it before from Stone Brewing, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is. Stone Brewing, Berlin, yeah. I was going to bring something from like a Danish brewery called Dry and Bitter.
Okay, no, I don't know that.
But no, it's great. It's kind of an up-and-coming new one. Every one of their bottles is like designed to look like a old 70s prog rock album.
Cool.
It's pretty nice.
Very.
But
cool.
I sort of drank them yesterday. So So Metallica is what I'm going with today. So
awesome. Crack that open. I'm going to present my beer of the day. Today I'm going to be drinking Broken Sevens Vague Parfaite. This is their American IPA. I love this brewery. They sort of rebranded recently, and I love this new branding. 6.5% ABV. I'm going to crack it open. Let's talk a little bit about the Danish craft beer scene, because I know that it's a world-renowned, thanks to Mikkeller. And having toured there, I know that there's a bunch of other very, very interesting breweries going on. So what is your take on the Danish craft beer scene?
Well, you know, it's actually been normalized so much. It's like you could buy craft beer everywhere now. It's so big in Denmark that you can't escape it, you know. So especially with Mikkeller, and we got like big ass beer festivals. I go to them every year, but I'm not really that. I can say I enjoy the craft beer, but I'm not that knowledgeable. but I got friends that kind of take me to all those kind of scenes, so I drink a lot of craft beer.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. That's the second.
No worries. And another one that always catches my attention when I'm out in Denmark is Kismayer. I hope I am saying that right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's kind of foamy.
Perfect pour.
Well, I'm a bit nervous. So.
No. We're just hanging out. It's nice. It's got a nice hop bite to it. It's still very clean, crisp. Absolutely delicious. Broken Seven. Check it out, people. Get it. Drink it. Enjoy it. Take me back to your youth when you were growing up in your parents' and guardians' house. What music was playing when you were not in control of the music?
Steely Dan.
Nice. Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. Yeah.
My dad has always been Sabbath, stuff like that. You know, also Metallica and Genesis, a lot of prog rock. That's the sort of vibe. My mom was also really into ABBA, so I listened to a lot of ABBA. And my cousin played death metal, so he kind of got me on that track back in the days. So yeah, there's always been a lot of, you know, different music in my household.
Do you remember the first show that you went and saw?
Yeah, I do. I think that was Gorefest and Death or something when I was a kid.
Wow. See, you're starting up really high right there.
Yeah, I didn't get it at all back then, but it was pretty cool. But I think the first show I went to by myself was Catatonia, I think, a lot of years ago. It's like in my early teens. Yeah.
Take me to your first time on stage. Do you remember your first show?
No, I don't, because I was so nervous. I can't recall a second of it. I still get nervous like that, but I know technically that I played in a youth squad in Copenhagen that's since been closed. And the next show I ever played was actually opening for Torch and Baroness.
Oh, really? Wow.
I can't remember anything from that at all because I was so nervous.
How do you cope with these nerves now approaching when you're playing?
Well, I got a lot of routine, but they are still there. I see it like as a positive thing, you know? I haven't become jaded even after all these years. But I pace a lot around. I smoke a lot of cigarettes and maybe I drink a beer or two just before, just to calm a bit down. But I just deal with it. There's no secret recipe or anything.
Let's move forward to Deads, your recent album that came out in 2018. I love it. I stumbled upon it by chance as a lot of things sort of happen in my life. I listen every week to Apple Music's new music suggestion for me, and I typically just put it on during the weekend while I'm cooking, because I cook for the week. I prep for the week always. And the track played, I think it was Armada played, and immediately I was like, what is this? Go, turn it, like it, take the album, and then just listen to it again and again. And I love it because it takes you somewhere. It's more than just the aggressive. It has movements. Take me to when you guys constructed this album, when you were writing it, is that something that was important for you guys, for it to have movements, so that it sort of breathes almost, this album? I love it.
Yeah, that's actually a huge part of our songwriting process, because we write music kind of differently than you typically would do in a rock band structure. Because we only got one guitar, we need to make a lot of space for the synths. And we usually add the synths after we recorded everything. So we kind of need to make it dynamic and need a lot of space for the synths. So we kind of fall into all that stuff, you know, automatically. Because we can't just be brutal all the time if you want to play that kind of music. Of course you can with other kinds of music, but it's like the way we write songs, it kind of lends itself to that we make these big gaps and we make, you know, movements in the music. As sometimes Ketil, our synth player, he plays with us, but mostly it's like sound manipulation he does afterwards.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. It must almost feel, you never know if a song is good until you get to that synth part of writing it, though. It must be strange writing songs in that way.
It is, actually. Is you kind of have, you really have to trust your instinct with that, because, you know, your first instinct would be to pile on guitar parts and make it more, lots of vocals and stuff like that, because there's something, obviously something missing. But so we kind of have to trust our instincts that this will be good enough, and we leave appropriately the amount of room that Keto needs to do his thing, and that's how we do it. It's really stressful. We're writing the next one right now, and we were like, oh shit, man, with the same problems again. You know, it's like, is this good? We don't know.
It must be hard to know when you guys have finished your parts too. When should you stop?
Yeah, exactly. But you kind of have to let it go, you know, at some point. Before we record everything live, by the way.
Wow. So old school. I love it.
Yeah, because that's just way more economic here in Denmark. And the drummer and I have done that ever since we started playing. So we could book a studio in 4 or 5 days, maybe less. I think we made Deads in 3 days.
Really?
We recorded it in 3 days. So so we don't have to, spend copious amounts of money on being in the studio, you know?
That's really, really interesting. So you guys have to be crazily prepared and prepped.
We are. So the rehearsals before going to the studio are usually pretty brutal, almost a day-long affairs. And we usually have to you know, when we record the songs, it's we are not going to spend more than two or three takes on each song.
Wow.
We need to get it done at that amount of time, you know?
Do you do your vocals afterwards, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that would be a bit much, that, to do it all.
I wouldn't do that. So, but when we record it that way, it gives me some time to, like, do the vocals. I'm not really that trained while doing it in the studio. I tend to blow myself out. So I try to ration it. I don't do that live, but I don't know if there's something about the pressure of being in the studio that I just blow my voice out.
It's the microscope. The microscope right on you in that exact moment. You know, and everyone's just watching and you're trying to give it your all. Yeah, you're going to have to try to figure that out and protect your voice.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like everything I know goes out the window, you know.
Well, it sounds amazing, and I wanted to touch on exactly that. How did you start screaming? Was it something that was out of a happenstance, out of a necessity because you needed a vocalist, or was it something that you were passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually both. I've become passionate about it. I very much didn't enjoy it starting out because I think it's a terrible thing to do to your body, screaming like that, you know. I get so tired. But back in the day, the drummer and I used to play in another band, and I would like do backing vocals. And once that band stopped, I kind of like got the idea that maybe I should be the vocalist. And then we did that, and I was really regretting it the first couple of years. But I'm actually pretty comfortable in I'm pretty comfortable in that role now. I love being a vocalist now.
Nice. I being an early childhood educator, I've discovered and realized that my stage persona communication to the crowd is facilitated through my experience working with young children. Do you find that same thing working with young children on the spectrum?
You know, I'm a pretty jovial, happy guy when I'm not on stage. It's something, it's like, That wouldn't be very nice if I was like I don't really think that I'm that good at talking to crowds or something like that. I usually try to avoid it because with our band we have like a certain kind of vibe.
Yes.
And if I'm goofing around, which I'm known to do, it kind of takes people out of it, you know?
There is an atmosphere with you guys, and that's true. And it's actually lucky for you that you can do that. it's sort of bands like Cult of Luna. They don't have to speak very often to the crowd. It's more of an immersive experience. Whereas myself, an extreme metal band, you have to create that energy with the crowd, that symbiosis. So, yeah. So you lucked out there.
Yeah. It's definitely something that kind of follows the kind of music we play, right? The post-mill. You have to be kind of shoegazing and look angry while doing it. Angry shoegazing. So, yeah.
Take me to this new record that you're writing right now. You guys released just about something every year from 2016 till 2018. Now you've taken 2 years. Is that because you guys were touring it, or is it because you wanted to just get more deep with it?
Yeah, we were touring it. And two of the guys in the band has just become fathers as well.
Exactly.
So we've been chilling, but since everything happened here with the corona, we started actually writing the album earlier.
Good.
Than we usually would. So we're like six songs in now.
Good.
Pretty much, which is a lot for us because we usually just record what we make. So it's kind of new. So back when we knew everything would shut down, we just I told the guys, you know, I'm just going to start writing now then. So we at least could get something out of this. We're going to record here in November, so we are way ahead than we usually are. And hopefully at that it will make a even better record. As long as we don't labor too much around it, fuck around it with, you kind of have to stop at some point, right?
So that is the hard part. That is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, it is. It is. But so far it's going great. We started here, I think maybe a month ago, and we've just been. I got lots of riffs, and we got full songs. They might not be what we record later, but it's a start, you know. That's pretty great for us. We actually we kind of get surprised every time we need to record an album. Oh shit, it's in 3 months, we need to. But we're in much better, you know, we have better time now, and hopefully it'll be better because of it. I don't know. Let's see.
Awesome. What would be a dream tour for LLNN, unless you've already done it and I don't know it?
A dream tour? You guys? And maybe a band called Frontier? You know them? You know those guys?
Yes, I do. I do know those guys. I like them very, very much, actually. Yes.
I would love to tour with Will Haven. It's like a...
Will Haven. See, I don't know the band. That's very interesting.
They're like... they're from Sacramento. They kind of like toured with Deftones back in the days.
Cool.
It's like a very, very heavy, groovy stuff. I don't know how to describe it. They're actually pretty... we have a lot of similarities, LLNN and Will Haven.
Awesome. Totally going to check that out. Tell me about the worst day that you've had on tour.
The worst day I ever had on tour, that's like in 2010, I think. We were touring in England with my old band in Great Britain. And I went out to the bus because I got nervous, and I saw a bus driver smoke heroin. Yeah.
No and, way.
That wasn't a very great day. And we had to like wait 2 days before we could kick him off tour. So, there was a lot of worry there back then.
Did you go and tell all the guys?
Yeah, I told all the guys.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That would really, really freak me out and piss me off.
Yeah, same here. He actually came back later at the tour at a later date, and actually trashed our bus with a baseball bat because he was very unhappy about we kicked him off the tour.
His whole reputation is ruined. And he probably can't drive buses anymore. But, you know, don't fucking smoke heroin, people.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell are you doing? He looked at me and he's like, it's for my back. that has to be one hell of a back injury, you know?
Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
That's horrible. Being from such a rich land of craft beer, have you ever imagined or wanted to have a LLNN craft beer collaboration with a brewery?
Yeah, I would love that. That's, you know, that's actually a low-key big dream of mine. It'd be so nice to have our own beers, you know.
So what style of beer would this be, and what would it be called?
I prefer like pilsners. So I go after that, but maybe a pilsner that's like 9% or something, if that's even doable. We probably call it the Sulaco, like the ship from Aliens.
Yes, hey, that's super cool. Yes,
something from Alien.
That would be super, super cool. Christian, one last question: when you are hungover, what do you do? What is your hangover cure?
There's two hangover cures for me. More beer, that usually works, or Burger King. If everything sucks for me, I kind of like crave Burger King like a selfie or something like that. If I get a double whopper or something, I'm usually good.
That's perfect.
For the rest of the day.
Christian, thank you so much for taking the time. Sit down with me, talk about your life, talk about metal, and talk about craft beer. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Everyone go listen to LLNN. They got new music on the way, which makes me very happy.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
Cheers. Thank you. Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. I cannot tell you how many technical issues we had with this episode, which is why it's a little bit shorter than most Vox and Hops episodes, but I still had a great chat with Christian, and I am an absolutely huge fan of LLNN, which is why I set up this interview. You guys should absolutely check out this band if you do not know who they are. The vibe, the journey, the chug, I love it. You guys should check it out. Another Pelagic gem. Such a great band. Just go check it out. I am super stoked about this new record that they are working on right now. And you should be too. I hope you guys have a great weekend. As I mentioned, take the time, sit back, relax with your family. I'll be back at you with two episodes brought to you by Sound Talent Media. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hopsheads.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.